Okay, we're going on to our next parable. This last week, we've seen the impact of human conflict in Gaza and Israel. The past year, we've seen the impact of the pandemic on people's physical health and mental health. We've seen racism, nationalism, greed, deforestation, and climate change. And these issues are a challenge to us all. And in response to these issues, or maybe some that are much more personal to us, we might ask that question, where is God? Or more specifically, where is God's kingdom? Jesus came to bring a kingdom, and the signs of the kingdom as Jesus walked around were people being healed. We're looking at Matthew's Gospel, Matthew 4:23. Jesus healed, it says, every disease and affliction amongst the people. Every disease. Can you imagine if we came here this morning and everyone with the disease, everyone who was sick, walked out healthy and well? It would be amazing. And that's what happened in this scenario when Jesus met every disease. Miracles, Matthew 8:23. Jesus calmed a raging storm. These experienced fishermen were thrown about in the boat and they thought they were going to die. And Jesus spoke and calm came upon the waves. Forgiveness of sins. The men put the paralytic through the roof to get him close to Jesus. And Jesus says, your sins are forgiven. Like, but my legs. No, your sins are forgiven. Jesus came to bring forgiveness of sins. That's the biggest problem we all face, is the forgiveness of sins. And then changed lives. From Matthew 9:9 onwards, Jesus calls his disciples, and he calls Matthew a tax collector, one who's stealing off people. He calls him, and Matthew's life is changed, so much so that he writes this gospel for us. And as Jesus' impact grew, we would expect the world to be a better place, wouldn't we? They say there's 2.3 billion Christians in the world. It's a lot of people. And we might expect, actually, there should be more of an impact on the world. And I would argue there should be. But it's not. And this is a challenge to our belief in God and his goodness. So we're going to look today at what did Jesus tell us to expect as his kingdom came. Would everything just get better, or was something else going on? And we're going to turn to our next parable, which is the wheat among the weeds. And if you've got a Bible, you might want to turn. It's Matthew 13, verse 24. We've moved the order around with our parables a little bit. So next week, we're actually going to look at the first parable. This week, we're looking at the second. But both are about seeds and are about growth. Right, Matthew 13, 24. We're going to read to verse 30. And then there's two parables sandwiched in the middle, which we're not going to read today. And then we're going to read from verse 36 onwards. It says this. He put another parable before them, saying, the kingdom of heaven may be compared to a man who sowed good seed in his field. But while his men were sleeping, his enemy came and sowed weeds amongst the wheat and went away. So when the plants came up and bore grain, then the weeds appeared also. And the servants of the master of the house came and said to him, Master, did you not sow good seed in your field? How then does it have weeds? He said to them, an enemy has done this. So the servant said to him, then do you want us to go and gather them? But he said, no, lest in gathering the weeds you root up the wheat along with them. Let both grow together until harvest. And at harvest time I will tell the reapers, gather the weeds first and bind them in bundles to be burned, but gather the wheat into my barn. Then verse 36. Then he left the crowds and went into a house. And his disciples came to him, saying, explain to us the parable of the weeds in the field. He answered, the one who sows the good seed is the Son of Man. The field is the world, and the good seed is the sons of the kingdom. The weeds are the sons of the evil one. And the enemy who sowed them is the devil. The harvest is the close of the age and the reapers are angels. Just as the weeds are gathered and burned with fire, so it will be at the close of the age. The Son of Man will send his angels and they will gather out of his kingdom all causes of sin and all lawbreakers and throw them into the fiery furnace. In that place there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Then the righteous will shine like the sun in the kingdom of their Father. He who has ears, let him hear. Let's pray. Father, we want to be those who have ears to hear what you want to say this morning. We ask you, Holy Spirit, to come and speak to us this morning. Come and reveal to us the truth that you came to show us, that you came to reveal to us. We pray in the name of Jesus. Amen. This is three parables put together that all speak of growth. We have this one, then we have the leaven, and we have the mustard seeds, which fall in the middle of them. And the story that's here of agricultural sabotage is not something that's unfamiliar with those times. Roman law dealt specifically with the crime of sowing darnel in a wheat field as an act of revenge. And Jesus tells this story of an enemy creeping in at night and putting in all this weed amongst the wheat. And then he flees. And this darnel, or some translations call it tares or tares, I don't know, what would you say, tares? Tares. Is related to ryegrass and it's poisonous. So it's a bit of a nightmare if it's in amongst your very edible wheat and you've got all this poisonous weed. And it grows up just to look like wheat. And it's only when the plants start to show their heads that you realise you've got a problem. But it's actually at that point that it's too late to do anything about it. And we see that even in the story, verse 26. It's only as they start to show their heads that they realise there are weeds. And the servants know the damage that these weeds have. They know the potential to destroy the whole crop. And they ask, do you want us to go and gather them? But by now those weeds will be, the roots will be intertwined. It won't be possible to pull one out from the other. So the master says, let both grow together until harvest. And at harvest time I will tell the reapers, gather the weeds first and bind them in bundles to be burned, but gather the wheat into my barn. This is all the crowd heard. They only heard that first bit. We had a lovely explanation of what this parable is really about. But the crowd only heard those first few verses. They only heard this story of agricultural sabotage, and they were left sort of hanging. And a couple of weeks ago, I spoke to us about why parables. And if you weren't here to understand, because Jesus doesn't explain everything to the crowds. But to those who have ears, to those who want to know more, he explains. And we see the disciples ask him, they say, explain this to us. We don't really understand. Explain it to us. And that's what Jesus does. And I've got 3 points this morning and then a sort of an invitation to end, really. And the first is Jesus is king. Verse 37, the one who sows the good seed is the Son of Man. Jesus used this term, the Son of Man, to speak of himself. He used this term rather than Christ, because Christ had a lot of unhelpful understandings in the hearts of the people. They thought this was going to be a political, military leader. And Jesus was the Christ, but he didn't want to be associated with that. He wanted to show them what was the true mission of the Christ. But this Son of Man emphasizes both his unique relationship to God and his unique relationship to man. And it also links to Daniel 7, but we're not going to look at that this morning. Jesus clearly states that he is the one who sows the good seed. And this good seed is the sons and daughters of the kingdom. It's only Jesus who can bring in God's kingdom. It's not an idea or philosophy. It's not good deeds. It's not some vague religious concept. It's only Jesus. Jesus is the king of the kingdom, and there's no other way to be in the kingdom. The question of where you stand now, whether weeds or wheat,
is determined by your relationship to Jesus alone. No one else. It's your relationship to Jesus. The second thing I want to say is that good and evil grow side by side in this age. Verse 38, the field is the world, and the good seed is the sons of the kingdom. The weeds are the sons of the evil one. The field is not the church. The field is the world. Jesus makes that very clear. In our world, good and evil grow side by side. This is why our world never seems to become a better place. Until harvest time, until the end of the age, evil will continue to prosper. That doesn't mean that we don't have good things to do. What Alison shared with us, we must do all that we can to make a positive impact on this world. But we see evil growing. But we also see the good of God's kingdom. I was so encouraged when Peter shared these photos on our WhatsApp group this week about the new staff house going up in Malawi for the health centre. Brilliant. Absolutely brilliant. And this is what we're called to do. But I think the challenge of this parable is this clear, undivided and unquestionable division between wheat and weeds. There's no grey ground. There's no grey space here between those of the sons of the kingdom and those who are sons of the evil one. And the question here is, which are you? Wheat or weed? What are you? Right now, which are you? And sons or daughters of the evil one sounds drastic. And there are not many people in the world who would consider themselves that way. But Jesus said in Matthew 12:30, whoever is not with me is against me. Whoever does not gather with me scatters. There's no middle ground. If we go back to the fall when sin entered the world with Adam and Eve, Adam and Eve's relationship to God changed when they chose they wanted to be their own God. When they rejected him, when they chose that we don't want your good plan for us, we believe there's something better and we're going to look for it ourselves. And that's when it went wrong. Evil in itself is a rejection of God. Rejection of the good God, a rejection of the one who created you for something else. That's what sin is. Sin is rejecting God, sin is rejecting his plan for your life, rejecting his laws, his guidelines for happy living, and choosing your own moral framework. Those who are weeds are capable of having a positive impact on the world. That's not to say that only the church can do good things. No, there are many people who aren't part of the kingdom who do good things in our world. But by rejecting God, we align ourselves to the one who rejected God first, the devil. Not many people, nowadays, many people reject God without really knowing much about him, without knowing what he's like. A number of years ago, a London newspaper did an experiment, handing out leaflets by Oxford Circus Station. And the leaflet offered you £5 if you took it back to the person who gave it to you. So as you went past, you read the leaflet. If you went back, you got £5 in your hand on the spot. 3 hours. How many people do you reckon took up that offer? 11. 3 hours, 11 people. Some didn't take the leaflet. They thought, oh, I know what that's all about. I don't want what you're selling. Some took the leaflet, put it straight in the bin. Some put the leaflet, probably popped it in their back pocket and found it a long time later. But in 3 hours, only 11 people went back to check out whether this was true. And I fear that this is one of the ways that it can look for Christianity. Many people, oh, I know what you're on about, and reject it without even looking into it themselves. I want to encourage you, please don't make that same mistake. Something far greater than £5 is at stake here. What we see in this parable is that now both good and evil are present in this world and have an impact on our lives. Both those who follow Jesus and those who don't exist in our world in this time. But there is a day of harvest, there is a day of judgment. The present situation will not continue forever.
In verse 41, verse 42, Jesus says, "The Son of Man will send his angels, the reapers, and they will gather out of his kingdom all causes of sin and lawbreakers and throw them into the fiery furnace." There is a day when this age will come to an end, and those who have not repented and responded to Jesus will face judgment. The Bible promises that in the age to come, there is no more sickness, suffering, crying, pain, death. There is no sin. None of the impacts of sin will affect that coming kingdom when it comes in its fullness. And for those who, and for that to happen, God needs to remove all causes of sin and lawlessness. It says, verse 43, the righteous shall shine like the sun in the kingdom of their Father. Now, the righteous are not those who do so many good deeds. They're those who've responded to Jesus. They're those who've responded to God's mercy and had their sins forgiven and become new creations. Those who've been baptized. Jesus was righteous. We are not. I know that in my own life. I'm sure you know it in yours. We are not righteous. But Jesus took all of our unrighteousness upon himself, and then he gave us his righteousness. So we are righteous before the Father if we've trusted in Jesus. We've swapped like our garments of filth. It was quite messy doing the garden the other day. You know, you come home, you're messy. We've swapped those garments of filth and put on his righteousness, his cleanness. And the righteous will shine like the sun in the kingdom of their Father. They'll reflect something of the glory of Jesus. What a hope we have for the future. But for now, the wheat stands amongst the weeds and will continue to do so. What does that mean for those of us who are Christians? It means we've got some vital news to share with our world. In this parable, there's clear division between wheat and weeds. And in the world of gardening, you can't click your finger and the weeds become wheat or the weeds become flowers. That would be nice, wouldn't it, for those who are gardeners? You can't do that. But Jesus sent his disciples out to the lost sheep of Israel. Part of Jesus' mission was to go and reach those who were lost. After he rose from the dead, the final words in Matthew's gospel are to go and make disciples. It's to reach out. And that's what we're called to do as Christians. If you've responded to Jesus, the call on your life is to go and share that good news with others. The first disciples were called witnesses, and we're witnesses of what God has done. And there's a world out there that needs to know the good news of Jesus, doesn't it? Really does. Much as we're looking forward to everything easing up, that could just mask the fact that we still have a real issue if we're not right with God. We've got good news to share. God has empowered us and equipped us to be witnesses. Finishes with these final words of invitation, really. He who has ears, let him hear. Or she who has ears, let her hear. And there's that invitation that Jesus gives us to look into it for ourselves. There's an invitation this morning to say, actually, I want to look at this. Because here there's clear division, but actually there's only clear division at the moment when Jesus returns. Right now, weeds can be transformed into wheat. Sinners can be transformed into saints. And Paul reminds the church in Ephesus about what God has done in transforming them, their lives. And I'm just going to read from Ephesians 2 to finish. It says this, "And you were dead in your trespasses and sins, in which you once walked, following the course of this world, following the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that is now at work in the sons of disobedience, among whom we all once lived in the passions of the flesh, carrying out the desires of our body and the mind, and were by nature children of wrath like the rest of mankind." That's the bad news.
That's the bad news. That's the situation we all found ourselves in. We were all weeds at one stage. And then it says this, but God, being rich in mercy, because of the great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses, even when we were covered in our own filth, he made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved. And he raised us up with him and seated us with him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, so that in the coming ages he might show the immeasurable riches of his grace in kindness towards us in Christ Jesus. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not your own doing, it is a gift of God, not a result of works, so that no one may boast. And then it says, for we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. He has done an amazing work in our lives, and we have many, many good works to walk in as we walk this path in between the wheat and the weeds.